Dear listener, this podcast contains adult language and themes. Magic is not for the faint of heart, and listener discretion is advised. If you're new to our podcast, skip back to episode one. What do you picture when you think of a witch? Does it conjure up images of green skin, pointy hats, warts? Or does it remind you of that eccentric lady in the health food aisle of your grocery store? Her handcrafted jewelry tinkling as she walks. Or maybe you're like me and you imagine a sort of goth chic cool girl with a hashtag aesthetic Tumblr and like tarot card tattoos. The more I learn about witches, the more fascinated I become. Throughout history, all over the world, wherever you see women innovating or controlling their own sexuality or gaining power of any kind, really, you see accusations of witchcraft. You even see it today, leveled against everyone from Hillary Clinton to Beyonce. No, really, I highly recommend that particular YouTube K-hole. So lately when I hear the word witch, I immediately empathize. But look, we have a mystery to solve here, and we need to find some suspects. On our last episode, we began to determine whether Bailey might be cursed. Later in that same meeting, we started to speculate about why, and who might have a motive to curse him. Basically, it's unlikely that you've been cursed for no reason. So if you really are cursed, and that's really what we're working with, it's not likely that that just sort of came out of fucking nowhere. And you just sort of like, ooh, no, I caught the hex. Like, that's not really how it works. So someone did it on purpose. And so the most likely reasons, number one, is like jealousy. So you have something that someone else wants. And they want it, and they may or may not think that you deserve it. So jealousy is a thing.
At the risk of sounding hyper-arrogant, I've had a lot of people be very openly jealous in my life.
Maybe make some...
I will. I'll make a little list.
Make your jealousy list.
My jealousy list. I'll give them all nicknames. It'll be amazing.
Good. That'll make our stories move faster. The next one is revenge. This is a big one. So... with revenge curses, you may or may not have harmed them on purpose, but they're basically trying to send the negative energy back to you as retribution for the negative energy they perceive you've sent to them.
Gotcha.
So
I didn't choose them one time in kickball. That brings up the question to me of like the nature of witches, of like, because I'm thinking of, like, people that were my age at the time. Like, can you be a witch and be a 14-year-old boy? I don't know.
That actually brings up a really good point.
I'm just asking.
Well, that actually, I wasn't going to be there yet, but I can be there now.
You can
I'm going to be there because it's a good segue. Is there such a thing as, like, it's sometimes referred to as a psychic curse, which is sort of an unintentional curse. And so it's like someone who is... sometimes that can be an intentional thing, but can also be unintentional. It might be someone who has powerful magic and may or may not know it.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me. I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Why does that make more sense to you?
Just because I could see somebody, you know, it's sort of like that, almost like Carrie or something, where it's like you do something wrong and then she like gets angry and then something falls off a shelf.
Right, she has all that power, but she's not channeling it on purpose.
And it's like somebody's like, oh, fuck you, Bailey, and somehow they created like they manifested an energy that like is like a cloud that lives over me now or something. Like, you know.
Totally.
Wow, that's cool. That's interesting.
Jealousy, possessiveness, revenge. Who in Bailey's life might harbor these powerful feelings? Just as in any murder investigation, who's always the prime suspect? The significant other, the exes. So for now, I'll put my feminist misgivings aside in the interest of good detective work as we begin to investigate the women of Bailey's past.
Black's the night, dark's the soul. Tell me now, make me whole. Red's the color of blood.
Yeah.
bones and give them breath.
Okay, so this this person who will rename nameless, mm-hmm. who will remain nameless, we're going to call her Stalker Channing because she's a stalker. And I love the movie Grease. So, Stalker just, Channing.
I'm only going to be able to like see her face. Like
that's fine. She looks nothing like her.
When Bailey was a junior in high school, he was introduced to Stalker Channing through mutual friends. They didn't hit it off, and Bailey decided not to pursue a relationship with her. Stalker, however, didn't want to take no for an answer. At first, she would just turn up at social events, despite living nearly an hour away, but then she started showing up at stranger places, like Bailey's mom's preschool classroom. She mailed Bailey's brother an extravagant birthday present, despite never having been given his address. Although he was starting to become pretty freaked out, he did his best to just ignore it. After all, she was just a teenage girl. That year, Bailey had the opportunity to fly to Europe with his school choir.
So I was like walking the aisles, and I walked all the way down to the back for the first time. And as I was doing it, this woman starts covering herself up with a magazine. And weird. At first I was just like, oh, okay. And then I moved on. Yeah. But then I walked back past, and as I was, she kind of put it back up again, realizing I was walking back past. She didn't get it up in time, and I realized this was Stalker fucking Channing was on this plane, okay? Now, mind you, like, I don't care. Everybody can forever say, like, Bailey, you bring all these things on yourself. I did not bring any of this on myself because I'm bad about being too nice to people, but with her, I was, from the first night I met her, have been very dismissive and not like...
I just want to understand how a 17-year-old girl mm-hmm. was able to
obtain...
buy a ticket for an international flight.
That's crazy to me. One, two, how did she know what flight I was on? Did she know I was on the same flight? Three, how the fuck did she think that was going to go? That she was going to show up there and we were going to run into each other and I was going to be like, yeah. Oh, P.S. She's not on her own trip doing something. She is following me. Like, she was very open about that.
No, and that's like such a like borderline personality thing to do. Absolutely. Like a grand gesture kind of.
Absolutely.
Crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was crazy. And then I got home and got a restraining order against her and only saw her a couple more times after that. And it was because she worked at the local theater.
How did they get her home?
I don't know. Deported her? I don't know.
You, like, got to Italy.
Yeah. And we're in the airport. And that was the other thing is that I couldn't figure out is how I didn't see her in the airport before we boarded. That's like, how would I...
She was just hiding behind that magazine.
Guess. Yeah. Or I just wasn't paying much attention, but... Yeah.
See, like, what happened when you got off the plane? Like, you all get out
well,
and you're
we're way
like...
ahead of her on the plane. She was way in the back. So we got off way before she did. And... dipped, and my headmaster knew about it. All I knew was when we left, like 3 hours later, I got grabbed, and one of my teachers was like, just so you know, they sent her home. I was like, that's amazing.
So he never saw her again, at least not on purpose. In Wichita, it's hard to really avoid anyone. That's fucked up, man.
And within a year of that, I was dating an employee at Blockbuster and things got crazy. Should I tell that story too?
I guess that's a good segue.
Fuck it, might as well. So
I'm gonna be...
Why?
Because I don't like this person.
So
I've heard this story.
What should we call her? Twats Magoo. We'll just call her Magoo, okay? Magoo. She's a little bit Magoo. So I'm a manager at a Blockbuster, and I'm like 18. I'm about to turn 18.
You're a senior in high school?
I'm a senior in high school, and I'm dating a girl who works for me. And her name's Magoo. And by the way, it's not Maggie or Margaret or anything that not sounds close. Like Magoo. Yeah. It's not even close.
Oh, wait. I need a visual aid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When does it spell it out?
No, I'm definitely still friends with this girl, Paul.
Why? What? Dude.
And she was 27 at the time, and I was 17, about to turn 18 when we were dating. Yeah. So I think I had turned 18 while we were dating. And I remember even on my 18th birthday getting a card from her that said, you're finally legal. I was like, whoa.
So gross.
It was a little gross. But when you're a 17-year-old boy
And a 20-something-year-old...
When you're a 17-year-old kid and you and someone older is interested in you, you think it's cool. Yep. And
it
you
felt
think
real cool.
You think you're so mature and you're so interesting that someone
And she
that
was
much
like,
older...
I'll take you, I'll let you take me to all your high school parties and I'll let you do that. Yeah, but she loved that kind of stuff. She loved it. She loved the high school crowds and she loved it. It was so weird. And she was like, I want you to just be so proud of me and just like walk me around these parties, whatever. Anyway, it was never good. I never remember being happy. I never remember. I just remember always feeling so cool that I had this older girlfriend and that I could talk about it at school. But when I was with her, I hated it. When I was with her friends, I hated it.
Bailey and Magoo dated for around 6 months, but finally broke up over differences in their goals for the future. Though the breakup wasn't particularly friendly, a couple months later, she invited him to her birthday party. He thought, why not? And he sneaks out of his parents' house to arrive at the locked gate of her apartment on a dark street, lit only by a distant street lamp.
First, I see two guys coming towards the gate, and I was just like, oh, okay, awesome. They'll let me in if I can't figure out how to get in. So I can't see the keypad. They start walking up, and the gate starts opening. And I'm like, oh, cool, great, thanks, guys. The next thing I know, I'm on the ground, and these two dudes are kicking the shit out of me. And kept kicking me in the ribs and in the back. Nothing broke. And popped me in the face like three times. One, you know, twice on like kind of jaw, lip, and once right on my eye. So I had a huge black eye. And then at one point I looked up and another dude was coming at me and he started in on it. And at one point I looked up and Magoo was standing there watching as they did all this and she just let them do it. And I scraped myself off of the pavement and got in my car and I think probably cried for about 30 minutes.
Today's last potential suspect is someone you remember. You met her in the robbery, and if you were listening closely, you may have noticed she was around during the time of the knife attack. G-Bones. Now, there are a lot of stories about G-Bones, but this one stands out to me.
Now, G-Bones is a little bit of... is untrustable. She's a peanut butter and jelly untrustable. And she just...
What does that mean? I don't understand your reference.
Have you ever had an Uncrustable?
What?
Uncrustable.
The fuck is that?
Okay, my nephews eat them. It is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that is packaged, but it has been cut with a thing so that there's no crust on it. So it's just like a Hot Pocket, but it's just peanut butter and jelly in white bread.
That's just pre-made?
It's pre-made in a little package, and my nephews eat them, and it's called an Uncrustable. Okay? Smucker's makes them. Smucker's.
Okay.
Shit-filled pockets. Okay, so basically, I was making a bad joke, and it doesn't matter.
It's fine.
So she was untrustable, like an Uncrustable, and I...
wait, hold on. I need to follow.
Sure.
Through the simile. Like, do you find Uncrustables to be untrustable?
Yeah, you never know what's going to be in those things. Sometimes there's too much jelly, sometimes there's not enough jelly. And also sometimes you realize what you're eating halfway through and you have to throw it away. So it's a little untrustable, the Uncrustable.
How do you get halfway through and you don't know what you're eating?
No, I mean, like, you realize, like, what all's in that. Like, it's like, the worst kind of bread. It's not real bread. It's, like, Wonder Bread, but, like, even less than, you know what I mean? It's like bleached white flour with like refined sugar and fake grapes and
fake
peanuts.
I
want to
know what the
peanuts.
Fuck these things look like.
Sure.
Because I don't think that this must be a new snack.
No, this has been around since I was young.
All I had to do was type in UNC. It came up before Uncle.
I know that.
It's possible that they're listening to me, so like whatever.
You're fucking right.
Oh, it looks like a little strudel.
It's like a pie.
But a bread one.
But they're not good by any means. Like anyone who's like nodding their head like, yeah, they're delicious, you're wrong.
I've seen these. They're small. Why is it so expensive?
They're expensive.
The second shopping option is $287.
If you want the truth, when I'm in.
Oh, a 72... A case of 72 of them.
Yeah.
cost $287.
That's, no.
That doesn't seem right.
That doesn't seem right. Is that eBay? Somebody selling them? Were they Michael Jackson's?
This is from Fresh Bites Basket.
They sound like a scam.
Well, Bonanza.
Freshbitesbasket.scam.
Bonanza says they're $34.92.
I'm cutting all this.
For a 4-count pack of 3.
I quit. Okay, so here's the thing. Untrustable like an Uncrustable. She, basically, we go to this Walmart and we're walking around. I'm there just to get toilet paper. Okay, and yeah, we're having a rough time. We've been robbed. We've had to spend some money to get back some things. It's been a rough little time, but it's not that bad, okay? I think I gave plasma a few times for money. Like, yeah. We were at that point. Like, I needed some money, but it wasn't bad. We had enough money to eat, and we had enough money for toilet paper.
You were so college broke.
I was college broke. Who cares? Yeah, yeah, I was living the life. So it was fine. And she and I would go to Walmart, and we would get the most basic of things, and we would leave, and it'd always be fine. This one time, though, she says, I want to go look at craft things. And I go, great. And I get stopped by this small man with no hair, and he says, I say that, I think he was, like, buzzed. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Was he the greeter? Is the guy with smiley face stickers?
No. This was a guy in regular clothing, in fact. Wasn't wearing any Walmart stuff at all.
Plain clothes.
Yeah,
Walmart
and he stops
officer.
And he says, hey, can you help me with something real quick? And I'm thinking, I get asked to help people with stuff all the fucking time. I'm 6'3", 250. Yeah. All right? I'm a big dude. People see me. They go, oh, can you lift this? I go,
you can move objects.
And I do it. And it's fine. But so he's like, can you help me real quick? And I was like, yeah, well, okay. So I start following him. And G-Bones grabs me. And she goes, no, we got to go. We got to go. And I'm like, no, it's cool. Everything's cool. She's like, no, we need to leave. I'm like, it's fine. Everything's fine. Like, just relax. I'm going to go help this guy.
So the man takes Bailey and G-Bones to a back office of the Walmart. At this point, Bailey becomes aware that he and G-Bones didn't look like stereotypical model citizens. She had bright colored streaks in her hair, and Bailey was working on a play where he had to have a mustache.
And when I have just a mustache, I don't look okay. Like, I look.
I can't imagine.
Don't.
It.
Don't even try, because it looks horrible. It's horrible. I look goofy. I do. And he takes us into this back room, and he says, check this out. And he points to the screen, and he shows G-Bones putting things into her purse, okay? And some of it was from the craft section, and some of it was from the apparel section. And he says, all right, I need you to empty all of your pockets and your purse. And I am kind of watching it going like, okay, maybe she isn't doing that. Maybe she's just like picking these things up and walking with them and then like setting them somewhere. She goes completely comatose. She will not talk. She will not move. She's sitting there like kind of shaking, won't say a word. She would do that a lot when she would get stressed out, very anxious. And so finally I took her bag from her after like 5 minutes of trying to get her to talk, and I dump it, and there is a bunch of like random toiletries and craft supplies, but then there's all this male underwear, like boxers, like Simpsons boxers, like expensive, weird, not expensive, but you know, like nicer buy one off of a hanger boxers that say like Simpsons quotes or like Christmas stuff or like South Park. And I was just, yeah.
So she's got a, how big is her
And I remember there was a ton of Crystal Lights. I was like, why, what are you doing? It's a big purse. It's a big, hefty, like, leather
purse.
A lot
of stuff in there.
Yeah.
The novelty boxers are a weird thing.
It was supposed to be like a gift for me. It was like this thing she wanted to get for me.
Hot.
I guess. Yeah. And so I don't even wear boxers. It was like this weird, I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, horrible, horrible
situation. So it's
situation
all in there. You dump it out there. And you're
yeah,
like, this
it's all
is
there.
Real.
And I'm just like, oh my goodness. And he's like, all right, where are all the electronics you stole? I'm like, what? He's like, you were in the electronics section. I saw you. What did you take?
Do you have a bag?
Into your pockets. No, I don't have a bag. I don't even have, I'm wearing like khakis. I'm like, I don't even have a jacket on. I'm like, what do I have? And he's like, empty your pockets. So I start emptying my pockets and I have nothing but my phone, wallet, keys, and a little bottle of cologne. Now, he goes, ah, I saw you over in the cologne section. Now, I always carried these little bottles. I would buy the specific little bottle from this specific little place in Lawrence on Mass Street, on Massachusetts Street, which was like the main spread, right? So I would buy this one specific little bottle, and it was this blue, I couldn't even tell you the fucking name of it, but it was the best. And all you had to do was put like a tiny little bit on your wrist and then put that on your neck, and then it was like, you're good the whole day. It smelled real nice, smelled very Bailey, wasn't too cologne-y or like perfumey, and it wasn't too like outdoorsy or whatever. It was very Bailey, kind of sweet, right? Very soft. But I loved it. And so, but they were like, we carry this here. And I was like, show me. Yeah. Right. And he was like, well, I will when the cops get here. Right. So that never happened. But so they tried to claim that I took this little bottle, which I did not. And I convinced the cop that it was mine, and he ended up just letting me take it, and it was fine. So that was not a problem. But they couldn't get G-Bones to say a word, not a single word. And so I basically ended up having to say, just to get us to go home, because the cop wasn't letting us do anything. He was like, we're going to sit here all night until she talks. I was like, here's the thing. Charge us both. It should have just been her. But I said, charge us both. I knew she was taking them. Does that solve it for you? And he's like, yep. I also forgot to mention, this was one of the cops that was involved in searching our home after the robbery. And they left it in a sty, a straight up sty, okay? And he was like, where have I seen you before? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And I tried to like kind of play it off, because I was like, that'd be awful if they like put that together, yeah. Which they probably did at some point when they typed my name into a database. They were like, oh, it's this guy. But so, yeah. So then we went to court. She wouldn't say a word there either. So I ended up having to speak for both of us. And we were sued or whatever by Walmart and paid them a bunch of money. And I was like blacklisted from Walmart.
Side note about that cologne bottle. It was stolen. Just not from Walmart. When it comes to our own stories, we all have a bias. We can't help but tell things from our own perspective. That's just human. So even though I trust Bailey to tell me the truth, or at least his version of the truth, I had to find a way to get a little closer. I wanted to know if there was anything intrinsic about Bailey's personality or destiny that might make him more susceptible to witchcraft, or that might explain all his bad luck away. I needed an unbiased expert, someone who didn't know Bailey, but at the same time could reveal deep truths about him. And as luck would have it, I know just the guy. William Richardson is my go-to expert when it comes to all things tarot, astrology, and woo-woo. But when it comes to technology,
I don't know if he understands.
Willie, can you call him?
Willie, can you hear me? Oh, he just Snapchatted me.
What did it say?
Let's find out.
I can tell what buttons to press. They look like there's like a, and it brings up a that, and I'm like, I don't know what that is though. I don't know how these works. I can tell what buttons to press. They look like there's like a,
okay, that's amazing.
Brings up a that, and I'm like, I don't know what that is though. I don't know how these works.
Legitimately, that'll do.
It's happening.
Yeah, but then it went away. It was a missed call. He needs to FaceTime me. There we go.
How do I just slide it
across?
It's my first time using FaceTime.
You did it.
It's connecting. Willie! So, Willie, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? This is for the listeners.
Oh, hi, listeners. All right, so I look at astrology and tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, just over a long period of study / nerdiness.
Yeah.
I just kind of look at it and nerd out on it. So there's more to it, but astrology and tarot, that's my jam.
Yeah. Full disclosure, Willie has like read my entire chart and done tarot for me more than once. And like, I always used to be super skeptical, but then whenever I hear Willie do it, I'm like, oh fuck, it's real. It's all real.
Yeah. I want to say just off the bat, like looking at the chart, if someone did a curse, it's not going to show up on the chart. Right?
Of course.
You know that you're a Leo, right? Your sun is in Leo. But your sun is in the eighth house, which is the house of Scorpio, which is the house of like where it's the darkness and where it's the hidden shadows and like all this stuff. So the sun wants to shine, but it has a hard time shining in the eighth house because that's where the deep mysteries of life happen. That's where we have to lose ourselves in order to join forces and become one with other people. So there's a little bit of the sun is, it's hard to shine because it's in like the depths of like Plutonian subterranean underneath deep feelings land. Also, my neighbors are having a huge fight right now.
So. I love it. I love that.
Ambient. I'm all excited.
Yeah.
Like, you stop anytime if you want to check in on the drama.
Yeah.
So the sun is in the eighth house. So the sun is our sense of self. It's our sense of like, what we are trying to be in this life, right? Like, it's what we're aware of. It's our consciousness, our awareness of ourselves. So, like, sun in Leo, I am also a sun in Leo. There's a very, like, they talk about, like, a mythic heart. Like, it's a heart chakra thing. Like, it's all about the heart and feelings. And, like, sometimes when Leos get overloaded with feelings, and it gets very overloaded in the eighth house because it's not just your feelings. It's the other person's feelings. It's the partner. It's the like the deep bonded person. Like you intuitively connect and like are confident, and like that's your awareness of yourself is through other people.
Mm.
Wow.
There's that, and then so then your moon is in the preceding sign of Cancer, and the moon actually loves to be in Cancer because that's where it lives. The sun is in Leo, and that's where the sun is. Of the sign of Leo, and the moon is in Cancer, which is the ruler of the sign of Cancer. So they're both in their domicile. The sun loves to be there, the moon loves to be there. They just don't love to be in the houses that they're in. And I guess I should send you this. Have you ever seen your chart?
No.
I'm talking some shit here. Okay, great. So the sun doesn't like to be in the eighth house, like I said, because it has to do with the other people's feelings. And the moon is in the sixth house. It's like right on the cusp. It's like right on that descending order. And the moon doesn't like to be in the sixth house because that's where we have to like take care of stuff and work a lot and be really organized. And the moon just wants to like feel feelings, man, you know, like yeah. It's like forcing you to like feel feelings, and the moon always wants to feel feelings. It's forcing you to like be organized and meticulous about your feelings, and you're like I just want to like feel, man, and you're like, no, but it has to be like da 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 da, it has to be like perfect.
Wow.
And it's also on the descendant as well. So that also puts a heavy emphasis on relating emotionally. So not just your consciousness of yourself, like in your deep bonded relationships, but emotionally, the moon is in Cancer. It should just be free flowing, like the ebb and flow of the tide. But it's in this place where you're automatically like thinking about work and thinking about other people. And that's where your emotions are landing too. So like your sense of self is in this eighth house, sense of like emotions, internal land, is in this end of the sixth house, right on the seventh house cusp. So it's in this working, relating to others kind of place where it just wants to like feel its own feelings, you know?
Yeah.
So then the other thing that like the trifecta that they kind of talk about is the sun, which is the sun is the sun, the moon, and then the rising sign, which is the sign that was coming up over the horizon at the time of your birth. So I don't know if you can you can't see that. That's dumb.
That's okay, yeah.
The camera, the thing.
Send it at some point. We'll
post
it, do the whole deal.
But your rising sign is actually on the other side of your chart. Like all that stuff, so like let me see where my hands are. So like it's like your stuff is over here and then your rising sign is over here. So they're almost like on the opposite sides of the chart from each other.
Gotcha.
And so Leo, where your sun is, and Cancer, where your moon is, both very emotional, like feely. Like, my feelings before anything else. Like, your whole reality is determined on your feelings. You have perfect memory recall,
based on how you felt at that time. Like, yeah. You can't say who the fuck someone else was wearing. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what they're wearing. Like, no, but then I had this feeling of, and so I remembered blah, but it's all about, like, emotional recall.
That's so true.
So then, on the other side, so that's, like, the season, right? Like, the hour of your birth, the sign of Capricorn was, where, I can't tell which way I'm facing. is that to your left or your
that's
right?
To, your fingers side? Are to our right.
Okay. So on this side,
yeah.
Like, this is, the Earth is rotating like this, and the sun comes up like this in the morning, and the moon goes like that, right? Mm-hmm. So at the time you were born, the sign of Capricorn was coming up over your, was coming up over the horizon on the eastern horizon, and I pointed to the east.
Gotcha.
So the sign of Capricorn was coming up over the eastern horizon, and the sign of Cancer with your moon was setting. It was in this relational western hemisphere house. So the sign that is your rising sign is cusping your first house. And your first house has to do with personal traits. So this is not like your awareness of yourself in life and like your theoretical or philosophical awareness of yourself, which is the sun. It's what we aspire to be. It's kind of our consciousness of ourselves. Your first house, your rising sign, is what you give off to other people. Like, so when you first meet people, this is like what you are giving to them. You're not giving Leo. They're going to know that once they get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But when you first meet people, you're giving off Capricorn. So what that is an earth sign. So Leo is fire. Cancer is water. They're both very emotional. Capricorn is the opposite of that. It's our legacy. It's the old man. Like, the old man's not emotional. He's seen and done it all. He's like, listen, I've done it. I've been it. I've seen it. Like, next.
Yeah.
So Capricorn is all about business and the public self, right? It's not just like you and me personally one-on-one or like my own feelings to myself. Capricorn is like life on a public stage. It's who we are when we can't present ourselves to the world out there. So the traits of a Capricorn are like, they're very, very like, they just seem like a rock, you know, like they're going to have all the responsibilities and they're going to like, everybody's going to just expect them to do all this stuff. But then on the flip side of that, Capricorns are also the biggest freaks because it's also like the old dude, old man and the old woman, like they don't give a fuck. They're going to be freaky as hell. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they work hard so that they can play hard.
Yeah. Okay.
Dude, you know what I mean? Like, people are strong and I'm not trying to like tell you your life right now because it's Saturn rules. People think of Saturn as the ancient like father time, right?
Yeah.
It's actually grandmother Rhea Cronus. Cronus was eating all of the gods of Olympus, and so she took Zeus and sent him down the river. It's like a Moses story. She's the ancient. Matriarchal power that subverts male authority, right? Like, it's the goat. It's all this stuff. So it's very, like, Capricorn is a powerhouse female sign. And because that's it. It's great. Lots of awesome Capricorns. So my point in bringing that up is that, like, so for a Leo, they always describe Leos as, like, fun and happy and bubbly and just carefree and they don't give a fuck and, like, meh. What I'm going to say is that, like, you've probably never related to that description of a Leo. And when you hear Leos described like that, you're like, no, that's not me, blah, 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 blah. But you've got this eighth house sun, which is deep, dark emotions and shared feelings, shared values and experience. You've got this seventh cusp moon, Cancer, very emotional internally. People probably would be surprised to know how emotional you are inside because you don't come off like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're gonna be joking. You're going to come off like, I don't care. I'm going to relate to how you want to relate. You know what
right.
I mean? I'm not going to show you my feelings. And then when they see you when they first meet you, you're giving off this very like business-like, it's like a businessman. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like a very big oversimplification of Capricorn, but like
sure.
it's like this older figure that's just like, yes, like of course it's how
right.
we do it. Then like they're the one at the bar at night that's like, woo, like,
yeah,
tips. So like there's those kinds of so there's the sun that's in the eighth house, there's the moon that's on the descendant, and then there's this very different energy of Capricorn rising. Because Capricorn is your rising sign, that makes Saturn, the planet Saturn, the ruler of your chart. Which means that it's like wherever it is, it's very...
Willie went deep on this reading. It's extremely dense and detailed, so we'll be releasing an extended cut. It's fascinating and full of goodness, so we want to be sure everyone who wants to mine it for clues can do a deep dive like we did, and not miss a single thing. Now, in this condensed version, this next part might be the most important part of all, at least when it comes to our investigation.
Okay. Wow. You with me?
Yeah, 100%.
Talking about bad luck? We're talking about bad luck and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Because Leo is actually should be the luckiest. Wow. Leo is the luckiest. So okay. That's like kind of, like at the beginning, I should have said that. Like a Leo is the luckiest sign. They're the happiest of the signs.
Right.
So much for an astrological disposition for bad luck. After the full reading, I selfishly wanted to know if there was anything in the cosmos that Bailey and I needed to know about each other as we embarked on our investigation together. So Willie dug into our composite charts.
And Bailey, it looks like it's gonna make Mars a, like there's some like fourth house internal work that's gonna happen, like that activates with her. That Bailey activates Mars as like some of her like deep down internal feelings, like stuff that is private, stuff that is, I'm just going to tell everybody. but it's like fourth house, like her, the seat of the soul. You know what I mean? There's things activated there. And within the fifth house too, like his north node, Mars, lands within your fifth house. So like, he's also like huge, like he's going to teach you how to have fun. Maybe even like connect to some of these own deep feelings that you have. Sometimes are hard to deal with, struggle through because it's so deep and personal, especially as a Scorpio, like keeping things covered and secret, you know what I mean? Like, and then having everything internal inside of that, like he's gonna like be mixing some of that stuff up. But with this north node in your fifth house, also there to teach you how to have fun, like just fucking be like, fuck all that shit, ah! Like whatever I want to do. And then Jupiter and the north node flipped, so Marza is really going to help Bailey like come to terms. Remember that stuff that I was saying, that stuff that's hidden? So Marza's north node lands within that intercepted Aries in the third house, so she's going to help you learn how to say your shit, learn how to like express yourself as yourself. And also Jupiter, her Jupiter lands within your third house as well, so like nothing but blessings come through that, letting the thing but like expansion, and we're just gonna blow the door wide open on that. And also she's gonna light a fire under your ass philosophically, you know what I mean? She's not gonna let you get away with lazy thinking, because her Mars is in your intercepted ninth house in Libra. Like she's not gonna let you be like a lazy thinker. She's not gonna let you like just kind of go, oh whatever, you know what I mean? Like she's gonna make you consider others. She's gonna make you consider like what your thoughts really are engaged on.
That's true almost every conversation we have.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mars, I have like an existential quandary. I need your help.
Exactly.
Oh, it's this.
Yeah. Like, Got it. Yeah.
Well, fuck. No pressure. We've covered a lot of ground in our investigation so far, from exes to hometown lore to literal trauma, and I'm starting to form some theories of my own. We have our very first potential suspects. I don't want to tip my hand yet, because I know by now you all have theories of your own, and we want to hear them. For now, it's time to go deeper into Bailey's psyche, and follow up on a popular request from you, our listeners. Next time on Bailey Was Cursed by a Witch.
A girl had gone missing, and it had turned out that the person that had kidnapped her was in the janitorial staff of that school. Okay?
Name any card for me.
Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades. You know, that's a dangerous card because that's often the death card, right?
Oh, no.
The entity that cursed you may have been with you that night. You know what I mean?
Bailey Was Cursed by a Witch was created, written, edited, and produced by J. Bailey Burcham and me, Marza Warsinski, featuring original songs by Adam James and Austin Archer with logo design by Kenna Warsinski. Don't forget to send your theories and questions at Bailey Was Cursed on Instagram and Facebook, or email us at baileywascursed@gmail.com. And I know my thoughts can't be taught to lie.